April 25th, the Holy Apostle and Evangelist Mark. Mark was a traveling companion and assistant to the Apostle Peter, who, in his first epistle, calls him his son. The Chosen One at Babylon sends you his greeting, as does Mark, my son. 1 St. Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Not according to the flesh, but a son according to the Spirit. While Mark was in Rome with Peter, the faithful begged him to write down for them the saving teaching of the Lord Jesus, his miracles, and his life. Thus, Mark wrote the Holy Gospel, which the Apostle Peter himself saw and attested to its truthfulness. Mark was appointed a bishop by the Apostle Peter and was sent to Egypt to preach. As so, St. Mark was the first preacher of the Good News, Gospel, in Egypt, and was the first bishop in Egypt. Egypt was entirely oppressed by the thick darkness of paganism, idolatry, soothsaying, and malice. With the help of God, St. Mark succeeded to sow the seed of the teaching of Christ throughout Libya, Amonicia, and Pentapolis. From Pentapolis, St. Mark came to Alexandria, where the Spirit of God led him. In Alexandria, he succeeded in establishing the Church of God and installed bishops, priests, and deacons, and to firmly strengthen them all in the honorable faith. Mark confirmed his preaching through many and great miracles. When the heathens raised accusations against Mark as a destroyer of their idolatrous faith, and when the mayor of the city began to search for Mark, he again fled to Pentapolis, where he continued to strengthen his earlier work. After 2 years, Mark again returned to Alexandria, to the great joy of all the faithful, whose number was greatly multiplied. On this occasion, the pagans seized Mark, bound him tightly, and began to drag him over the cobblestone pavement, crying out, "Let us drag the ox to the pen." Wounded and bloodied throughout, they cast Mark into prison, where at first a heavenly angel appeared to him, encouraging and strengthening him. After that, the Lord Jesus himself appeared to him and said, "Peace be to you, Mark, my evangelist." To that Mark replied, "Peace be to you also, my Lord Jesus Christ." The next day, the vicious men brought Mark out of prison and again dragged him throughout the streets with the same cry, "Let us drag the ox to the pen." Completely exhausted and worn out, Mark uttered, "Into your hands, O Lord, I give up my spirit." Mark expired and his soul was translated into a better world. His holy relics were honorably buried by Christians and, through the centuries, his relics give healing to people from all of their afflictions, pain, and diseases. Saint Annianus, the second bishop of Alexandria. When Mark stepped out of the boat on dry land in Alexandria, the sandal on one foot became torn. Then he saw a cobbler, to whom he gave his sandal for repairs. In mending the sandal, the cobbler pierced himself with the needle in his left hand, and blood began to flow, and the cobbler screamed in pain. Then the Apostle of God mixed some dust with his spittle and anointed the wounded hand, and suddenly the hand became whole again. Astonished at this miracle, the cobbler invited Mark to his home. Hearing Mark's homily, Annianus, for that was the cobbler's name, was baptized, he and his entire household. Annianus displayed so much virtue and so much zeal for the work of God that St. Mark consecrated him bishop. This holy man was the second bishop of the church in Alexandria. Hymn of Praise, the Holy Apostle and Evangelist Mark.
The Evangelist Mark to Egypt he flew, as a bee with honey, and Egypt experienced the sweetness of Christ's honey, the sweetness of living knowledge. And the people began to be amazed at Christ, how he, in his divine concern, became incarnated. How he humbled himself for man's salvation, and how he resurrected in glory and power through the thick darkness until now we walk. The Egyptian said, "And now for us the sun rises. Let us rejoice, O people, in this shiny day." But his wonderful crop Mark watered with his blood, and because of that, all the idols collapsed, and Egypt, the land of the Pharaohs, was baptized, became the field of God, the Apostolic Church.
Reflection. The devil quickly finds work for idle hands, and an angel quickly finds work for diligent hands. In this world of constant movement and constant change, man, whether he wants to or not, must always be busy, be it either good works or evil works. The idle man actually is not lazy. He is a diligent worker of the devil. An idle body and an idle soul is the most suitable field for the devil's plowing and sowing. St. Anthony the Great said, "The body needs to be subdued and immersed in prolonged labors." St. Ephrem the Syrian teaches, "Teach yourself to work so that you will not have to learn to beg." All of the other holy fathers, without exception, speak about the necessity of work for the salvation of the soul of man. The apostles and all the saints give to us an example of continuous and concentrated spiritual and physical labor, that the idle man, by his idleness, does not extend his life on earth, but shortens it, is clearly shown by the longevity of many saints, the greatest laborers among the laborers in the world. Contemplation. To contemplate the resurrected Lord Jesus. How his resurrection incites us and strengthens us for every good work, physical and spiritual. How his resurrection enlightens our every good work with the light of hope in the living God, who counts our works, measures them, and preserves them for the day of judgment. Homily. About the apostles' love for labors. Nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we worked so as not to burden any of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. First fulfill, then teach. All the apostles and all of the saints of God adhered to this rule. Thus the apostle Paul, even before he spoke the command, "If anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, declares for himself and for his assistants in preaching that they did not eat anyone's bread for free, rather by effort and labor earned their bread. Night and day we worked. Behold the true laborers, behold the honey-bearing bees of Christ, daily and nightly toil, where is their time for sin? Daily and nightly toil, where is their room for sin? Daily and nightly toil, where can the devil weave his nest of passions? Daily and nightly toil, where is their cause for scandal? In certain Egyptian and Palestinian monasteries, there lived about 10,000 monks. They all lived off the labor of their hands, from weaving beehives, baskets, doormats, and from other types of handiwork, daily and nightly toil and daily and nightly prayer. When a monk sold his beehives in town for a price higher than that which the abbot designated, the monk was punished for it. For the ascetics, it was not a matter of enrichment, but only for the most essential nourishment and the simplest clothing. In this, the ascetics were and are the true followers of the great apostle. O my brethren, let us flee from slothfulness, idleness, as from a cave of wild beasts. If by some chance we fall into a cave of wild beasts, let us quickly flee from it, before the wild beasts totally seal off the entrance. The cave is the dwelling place where the slothful man seeks rest. The wild beasts are evil spirits who, in such a dwelling place, feel more at home there than near their king in Hades. O Lord, who art wonderful in all the works of thy creation, awaken us from slothfulness and encourage us to labor day and night. By thine encouraging Holy Spirit, to you be glory and thanks always. Amen.